So I'd like to thank you for taking some time to sit down and listen and contemplate a little bit about what the good Lord is showing us in the book of Acts. This message is for July 4th of 2021, our 243rd birthday as a nation. That's quite an accomplishment, 243. Anyway, the Bible entitled this part of the book of Acts, Paul Appeals to Caesar. And we're going to start Acts chapter 25, and we're going to read from 1 to 12. So my outline, Paul appeals to Caesar, point number 1, Festus and the high priest, point 2, Festus and Paul. To start with, I want to remind us, God has a plan, and it is to take his gospel to the highest level in society in that day. And Paul is God's tool to accomplish this mission. God's mission is to get his gospel to the emperor and people of high authority. And Paul is the one who is going to do that. There's a change in characters in God's grand drama today. Last week we talked about Governor Felix. But now he's out of power, he's been relieved, and Governor Festus enters the scene of God's grand drama. So there's a new governor in town, and he's named Festus. 3 days after Festus arrived, the Jewish leaders and the chief priests asked a favor from him. They hoped he would transfer Paul from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Remember, more than 40 Jews had formed a conspiracy and vowed to kill the Apostle Paul. Can you imagine someone being so angry with you that they would vow not to eat until they had seriously injured or killed you? That's serious stuff there. Jesus had a plan for Paul, and the Jewish leaders hoped that Festus would grant this favor to them. If Festus did, they were prepared to ambush and kill Paul as he was taken up to Jerusalem. But Jesus had other plans for Paul's life. So our text today is Acts 25, verses 1 to 12, and I'll read it from the New International Reader's Version. 3 days later, Festus arrived. He went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem. There the chief priests and the Jewish leaders came to him and brought their charges against Paul. They tried to get Festus to have Paul taken to Jerusalem. They asked this as a favor. They were planning to hide and attack Paul along the way. They wanted to kill him. Festus answered, "Paul was being held in Caesarea. Soon I'll be going there myself. Let some of your leaders come with me. If the man has done anything wrong, they can bring charges against him there." Festus spent 8 to 10 days in Jerusalem with them. Then he went down to Caesarea. The next day, he called the court together. He ordered Paul to be brought to him. When Paul arrived, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood around him. They brought many strong charges against him, but they couldn't prove them. Then Paul spoke up for himself. He said, "I've done nothing wrong against the law of the Jews or against their temple. I've done nothing wrong against Caesar. But Festus wanted to do a favor to the Jews. So he said to Paul, 'Are you willing to go up to Jerusalem? Are you willing to go on trial there? Are you willing to face these charges in my court?'" Excuse me. "Paul answered, 'I'm already standing in Caesar's court. This is where I should go on trial. I haven't done anything wrong to the Jews. You yourself know that very well. I'm not guilty of anything worthy of death. I'm willing to die. But the charges brought against me by these Jews are not true. No one has the right to hand me over to them. I make my appeal to Caesar. Festus talked it over with the members of his court. Then he said, "You have made your appeal to Caesar. To Caesar you will go." The end. In the country we live in, it would be like appealing to the Supreme Court. That's what it would be like, an illustration, in our country. This past week, that worked out pretty good for Bill Cosby. His appeal got before the Supreme Court, and they ruled in his favor. And even though he's guilty of doing things, there was something the prosecutors did to violate his rights, and so he's free. And that's what Paul was doing. He's appealing to the highest authority. It would be like Bill Cosby did to our Supreme Court. So my outline, Paul appeals to Caesar. Point one, Festus and the high priest. Let's think a little about the timing of these events. Paul has been in prison for 2 years now. He would be asked to come and talk with Felix and his wife from time to time. Now we have a new governor. He gets off his ship at Caesarea and 3 days later goes up to Jerusalem. The high priest and the Jewish leaders get an audience with this new governor immediately. Their first topic of discussion is Paul. Festus stays in Jerusalem for 8 or 10 days and then goes home. The next day, he calls Paul into his courtroom. Some of that timing seems odd to me. Does it to you also? Festus lands on the shore of the Mediterranean Sea, immediately goes up to Jerusalem, doesn't lollygag around his palace there, he just heads up to Jerusalem, and in 3 days, the high priest is there, and they're bringing charges against Paul. Then he comes home, and the next day, he brings court together and brings Paul in. Paul had waited 2 years for this day, and now, in 2 weeks, a lot happens. From the time Festus lands in country until the trial is less than 2 weeks. Festus has been a busy guy. A on your outline, the governor's visit to Jerusalem. Your first V word is visit. The new governor comes to the center of his conquered people's world, Jerusalem. It's easy for us to try to picture the large formal gatherings that were lavish that Festus threw in Jerusalem. Festus is wining and dining his new subjects. So he's elaborate feasts and inviting the Jews to come and meet him and his court and begin to form relationships. B on your outline, the vindictive Jews. Your second V word is vindictive. It's been 2 long years, but the anger and the vengeance of the Jews has not cooled down. Can you picture this audience before the new governor? The first thing they ask for is not lower taxes, but they ask for Paul. Think about it. If you could go to the emperor, wouldn't you ask for lower taxes or something else rather than this man? The Roman taxes on the Jews were higher than what our federal and state taxes are. I'd ask to lower them, not kill some guy. C on the outline, the victory for justice. The third V word on your outline is victory for justice. Felix was a bad guy. He was a bad man. Festus, on the other hand, is a good man, and he tries to undo the big mess that Felix has made. Let us remember that not so long ago, Jesus had told Paul ahead of time that this was his mission for Paul's life. He did that back in Acts chapter 23, verse 11, and it reads like this. The next night, Jesus stood near Paul. He said, "Be brave. You have given your witness about me in Jerusalem. You must do the same in Rome." That's the end. So Jesus stands next to Paul in the middle of the night, wakes him up, and says, "Hey, you did good in Jerusalem. Now let's take it to Rome. And I'm sure you'll do well there too." We can see it wasn't God's will for Paul to die on the way back up to Jerusalem. It was God's will for Paul to testify about Jesus in Rome. And I thought of John chapter 10, verse 10. John's Gospel 10:10 says, "The thief, Satan, comes to steal, kill, and destroy." That's the end of that passage. And the point is, Satan was trying to kill Paul. Satan was trying to kill Paul through these religious leaders. Satan was trying to stop the spread of the gospel. However, it's hard to stop a person who is in the center of God's will, and Paul was in the center of God's will. Paul's circumstances made it look otherwise. We need to trust in what God says, not our circumstances. I tried to get a takeaway from this section, and that was it. Paul's circumstances did not look good. He'd been waiting in court for 2 years on trumped-up charges that weren't guilty, and now he gets a chance for his audience. But he's got a good attitude, clear-headed. His circumstances were pretty bad. These guys wanted to kill him, but he knew what God had said, and he trusted in God's word, not his circumstances. We can do the same things. God has made promises to us as born-again believers that we can stand on faithfully no matter what our circumstances look like. Always remember that if God has called you to do something, it will get done if you obey his way and seek to do his will. If God asks you to do something, you'll get it done. Just don't get distracted by your circumstances. The safest place in the world is to be in the center of God's will. Abide there. Once you find your way in there, just stay. Don't leave. Abide in that. So, in our outline, Paul appeals to Caesar, point one, Festus and the high priest, point two, Festus and Paul. You see, Festus and Felix let their opportunity to be saved slip through their fingers. Paul expresses the truth of the gospel, the good news of Jesus' saving grace, to both Festus and Felix and their wives. But they don't accept the grace God offers. They just let it slip through their fingers. Josephus wrote that Festus ruled wisely and justly, in contrast to Felix, who was a renegade rebel. At that time, there were Palestinians terrorizing the region at that time. Not so much different than the day we live in, where there's Hamas, Palestinian terrorists, terrorizing the same region of Jerusalem that there was in that day. Things haven't changed that much. There's still Palestinian terrorists there as in now. And these men wore a small sword, and they strapped it to their leg on the inside of their thigh, and they were very dangerous killers. When the Roman soldiers would pat them down, they would just go under their arms and on the outside of their body and wouldn't pat up between their legs, which was where the sword was. And these guys would sneak up on people and slice their throat, drop the knife, and walk away and slip off into the crowd. But they terrorized Romans and Jews at that time. Well, one of the good things that I found about Festus is he eliminated them under his rule. It's one of the few things that I found noted about him. A on your outline, Paul commanded to appear. Paul commanded to appear. So your first C word is commanded. Paul had been in prison for 2 long years because of false charges trumped up by the Jews. As we've been studying the life of Paul, I more and more realize that we cannot judge God's purpose or where he places us or why he chooses one path for our lives as opposed to another. One just needs to trust God's purpose for their life. The Bible itself is an account of God's divine action, or in other times, inaction, that doesn't seem fair. That does not make sense, except when it's viewed from the light of God's perfect plan. Be on your outline. The Jews' complaint lacked proof. The Jews' complaint lacked proof, and complaint is your C word. Festus saw this to be true as they accused him of these things. They had no proof. They just made all these wild accusations passionately. Often we see that when politics and justice or truth collide, many times politics and popularity win the conflict. That's still true today. There are a lot of things that could be just and true, but when they collide with popularity and politics, most of the time in the world we live in, as in that day, the politicians and the popular opinion win the conflict over justice, truth, and right. You see, Festus had a problem. How was he ever going to explain to his superiors the behavior that had provoked this stream reaction from the Jews? Think about it. He had to write a letter to the emperor explaining why he was sending this Roman citizen to him for trial. Festus knew in his heart that Paul was innocent of all these charges levied against him. Who would have expected the first 2 weeks in his office be like this? From the time he landed on the coastline till the time Paul's in front of him, that's less than 2 weeks. That's like a fast startup. See on your outline, Festus seeking a compromise. Festus seeking a compromise. So your third C word is compromise. This is true of politics. Doing the right thing is often traded for something less. And we, as we listen to the national news of what's going on in Washington, there is always commentary about how they have to compromise on this, compromise on that. Very rarely does something get through as it was originally intended. It always gets distorted by compromise, I think. Festus had no desire to get on the wrong side of the Jews in his first few days as a governorship, so he offered a compromise. He asked Paul if he was prepared to go to Jerusalem stand trial while he was there making sure they played fair. But Paul knew there could be no such thing as fair play in Jerusalem, and so he made his great decision. D on your outline. Paul's appeal to Caesar. Paul's appeal to Caesar. And your C word is Caesar. Felix was very different from Festus. We know very little about Festus. We do know that he was a just and upright man. We do know that about him. He died after only 2 years in office, and he died with his reputation intact. Something that politicians in that day or in our day have a hard time maintaining is a good reputation of being just and fair and honest. The Jews tried to take advantage of him, but Festus was a Roman with a Roman's instinct for justice. When we look at all the charges, we can see the severity of the charges brought against Paul. They accused Paul of heresy, of sacrilege, and of treason. And heresy, the Romans wouldn't care about. Sacrilege of the temple, they wouldn't care about. So the Jews threw in this last one, treason. The Romans would care about treason. From the high priest's point of view, the first two charges were true. But this would be irrelevant to the Romans. They wouldn't care about those religious things. But it was obvious the second two were deliberate lies. If a Roman citizen felt they were not getting justice in a provincial court, they could appeal directly to the emperor. When that happened, the local procedure came to a stop, and the defendant had to be taken to Rome for the personal decision of the emperor. Paul, being a Roman citizen, had the right to appeal to Caesar. the highest human ruler of that day. We, as citizens of heaven, have the privilege of appealing to the highest ruler in the universe, God. So I tried to come up with a takeaway from what was going on here, and that's what I came up with. Paul was a citizen of Rome, so he could appeal to Caesar. You and I are citizens of heaven, so we can appeal to Christ. And the good news is, when we make our appeal to the Father, Jesus is sitting at his right hand on our side, and the Holy Spirit fixes what we're saying before it even gets there. So we can make our appeal to Christ the same way that Paul made his appeal to Caesar. When Paul asked to appeal to Caesar, Festus had no choice, and so Paul was off to Rome. Paul was on the first steps of a road that would lead him to Rome. Caesar will hear the gospel from one of the greatest public speakers that ever lived. So God has orchestrated this so one of the greatest public speakers, one of the best preachers, the best logical preachers ever to walk the earth, would present the gospel to Caesar. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are deeply thankful for your amazing grace and for your incredible sovereignty, how you provide for Paul here. And there's a lot for us to learn, sir, about how we can keep our eyes on you and trust in you in the midst of our circumstances today. Humbly, we ask that you would equip us with the courage and the wisdom and the words to speak the truth in love like Paul did to these important people. So we thank you so much for your love and grace and mercy. Humbly, we ask that you would equip us with that so we can express it to others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. All his love for me, all his love for me. Who the sun sets free, who is free. Died for me. Yes, he died.